This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
Hour number three. Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, coming to you live. ESPN Studios at the Heineken River Deck, Pier 17. Right here in New York City. And we are brought to you by Goodyear, making the plays to move you forward. Goodyear, more driven. Bart, when it's hour number three, what does that mean?
The power hour!
We've had nothing but power today. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. I repeat again, this is the number, 888-729-3776. We will get to some calls. We got lots of calls to get to, of course. I kind of want to take, before we get into this topic, because I want to just see what this is about. Ryan from Texas has a Ray Lewis story for you, Bart. Ryan.
Hey, how you doing? Good. Yeah, this is Anthony, Ray from Texas.
Oh, Ray from Texas.
Yeah, yeah. I called about, man, that story time that Bart told about finally getting a shot. And Ray came to him on the bus. I think I'm going to go today. Yeah. I felt your pain, man. We need another story time, Bart.
Ah, you want another story.
Oh, you want? Oh, I thought you had a story. You want a story.
No. Oh, yeah. At least replay that one, man. That was radio gold. That was priceless.
Oh, you want to know? He want to know when keeping it real goes wrong.
Yes. So do we have? Do you have one? You want to come up with one? You want to think of one in the meantime? Like, you know, I mean, you want to wait? What do you think?
Most of the stories I have is not made for radio. It's kind of
extraordinary.
Ever tell you the time I saw my teammate kissing a? Never mind. Okay.
So we're just done with phrasing, right? That's not a thing anymore?
I got a lot of those. Maybe I should have a book. If I had a book, man, you think Jose Canseco got secrets.
What would the title of your book be?
Google me. It'd be called like...
You know what? I don't know.
That's what it'd be called.
Yeah, it's going to be called, damn, this message will self-destruct.
I'm a man. I'm 40.
Oh, yeah. It could be called that.
It could be called that.
Yeah.
All right. In the meantime, I do want you to react to something.
I can tell the seagull story, but you've heard that before, but I don't know if he heard the seagull story.
Seagulls?
Ray and the seagull. We can talk about God came to him. And it was too much.
All right. Let's leave it there. So let's talk about the Jets, who are starting Mike White. We've talked enough about that. But there is some, like I said, about this whole season. We'll see how Mike White plays on Sunday, and then we'll see where it goes from there. If he continues to play well, the feeling is he'll stay at the quarterback, which means your number two overall pick in the NFL draft, a quarterback that had the throw of the pro day season, the quarterback that everybody's excited about, that was compared to the likes of Aaron Rodgers and others, would be essentially benched for a young quarterback, older than him, who's been or bounced around the league but hasn't played. He's making his debut this season. And is really more of an unheralded player who was just running the offense better. And when you look at it, did they ever give Zach Wilson an opportunity to succeed? That's a fair question to ask, Bart, without a true veteran backup to be there to guide him, throwing him to the wolves the way they did. And then also the idea that Mike LaFleur was on the field, goes up to the booth. Now all of a sudden the offense is humming. Is it all those things combined? Zach Wilson never had that opportunity to have LaFleur up in the booth. And he also hasn't had the experience of someone. And you can tell me Josh Johnson only went, I'm not buying it. I like Robert Saleh personally. I like him a lot. I want to root for him. He's easy to root for. I like Joe Douglas a lot too. But it's fair to argue that they entered this season with not the best structure around a young quarterback. And Keyshawn Johnson had this to say about that very fact.
I don't know if Robert Saleh's that guy, though. But I also don't know if who's running the organization is that guy, to be honest with you. I'm never wrong in these situations, man, when I'm looking at this type of stuff. I don't know that Robert Saleh and that group is the right group moving forward. There's something that tells me it's not. It's been too many indecisions along the way on how to do things. Starting from hiring of coaches, to bringing in veteran quarterbacks late in the season, to John Beck coming on board, to now where you're looking at Mike White and you're not given a definitive answer on whether or not Zach Wilson moving forward is the guy. It's all of those sort of things. And it just makes you question if they know what the hell they're doing.
How do you feel about that, Bart? Because I feel like in New York, you're not given a lot of time when you're new at something. Saleh's never been a head coach, right? Joe Douglas never been a GM before. He's had two drafts, and it has been, I think, incomplete. Some good and some questionable. The head coach has come in, and his defense, he comes in with a defensive calling card. The defense hasn't been good. They've gotten lit up. They haven't looked prepared. But then all of a sudden, this backup quarterback you've never heard of comes in, and everything's unlocked. The young quarterback that everybody thought was the savior now all looks like the blame is on him. And we have no idea when he's going to get back in here again. He is no longer the priority, at least not right now, as a starter. Now, I believe, though, as a head coach, your job is to win first because the other 52 players on the team matter, not just the one starting quarterback you're trying to develop. So I agree with that. But I do think, though, in New York, it's very difficult to come in as someone with no experience and to have a season like this and not get criticized. And what Key is basically saying is, I'm not sure these are the right guys long term for this franchise. What do you think?
Well, that's why it has to play out, because nobody knows the answer to that. You can't connect the dots looking forward. You can connect the dots.
The evidence you've seen so far.
I mean, let's see. He went out and got a decent receiver at decent money, right? Denzel Mims is a good pickup. George Fant was a great pickup. Like the to move up and aggressively go get arguably the best guard in rookie guard on the table, and Vera Tucker was a great move. Being able to make a late trade for Morgan Moses, who was a upper echelon right tackle, I think he did everything you were supposed to do to protect the young quarterback if you were going to decide to go with a young quarterback. Now, what we didn't realize is that the offensive line was a lot better than what we thought. It was just because the negligence or the inability of a young quarterback to process. So I think he's done everything that you're supposed to do. Go get him weapons, right? When he got him Elijah Moore, when he got him Michael Carter, we both agree that those guys can ball, right? So, like, I don't see where
Carter, the running back, has been a fantastic rookie
in the NFL. And how does Elijah Moore look that now he has a quarterback that knows where to go with the football
better
and that understands, right? He had two touchdowns last week for almost 85 yards. He's starting to come on a lot. He's had three touchdowns because he had a rushing touchdown the week before. So he's starting to figure it out. Michael Carter was a great pickup. So, listen, he's done the right things. He was able to convince a guy in Duvernay to waive his no-trade clause to come over. So that means that people within the football fraternity respects him and thinks that they're building the program in the right way. Now, regardless of how they perform it defensively, we all knew this was going to be tough sledding, right? But you would agree that when they let Bless Austin go, we all was like, what are they doing? They letting go veteran cornerbacks. Yeah. Like, what are they doing? Has the cornerback position been a problem?
No.
No. They got one of the better secondaries when you talk about Hall and you talk about Michael Carter again, right? They've been able to hold the fort down. So, like, he's made some good moves. John Franklin Myers, that move a couple years ago, locking him down now at a cheap price. So when he comes back and you have Quinnen Williams, who I think everybody believes is coming on, so then you talk about all of that, and they still have Carl Lawson coming back next year. So how does that defense look there, right? So he's doing the moves, but listen, it's hard to connect the dots looking forward, right? You want to hope that when he has two first-round draft picks next year, two second-round draft picks next year, two third-round picks last year, that he can be able to come and say, okay, well, this dude is doing some of his due diligence.
Yeah, six players.
I believe in what they're doing. And he set up the contracts to a certain way where they always got salary cap space. They'll be one of the higher teams with salary cap space again next year. And now we all was like, well, they need a veteran quarterback. They need a veteran quarterback. They said, no, we good with Mike White. When Mike White got in the game, are the Jets good with Mike White?
Are you telling me they knew that Mike White would be able to perform like this?
I can't say they knew he would be able to perform like this, but they believed in him enough not to go trade for Flacco, Gardner Minshew, or Nick Foles and give up assets before, right? They essentially gave up a six-round draft
pick. Why'd they trade for Flacco now?
Because if he didn't play or he got hurt, they didn't believe that maybe Rob Johnson can come in and get the job done. So they went and got insurance for the insurance. Because nobody anticipated Zach Wilson to get hurt, so once he's gone, so now you got it. Now it's about your next two quarterbacks.
Okay, so to sum it up, you're saying it's too early.
Yeah, was Keelan Cole a good pickup?
He's made some good catches. Yeah.
So what are we talking about? He's starting to get the talent on his team. You got to give the man. It's only his second draft. Give him a third draft.
Okay. You are, and the fat third draft's very heavily loaded. At
and we
the
haven't
top.
Even seen Becton come back yet.
Yeah, that's right. The big left tackle. So who's been injured
listen,
all season.
Listen, what they're building. Becton, Vera Tucker, okay. I would say they have a below average center. not a good center, not a good right tackle.
Okay.
Well, what do they do with Duvernay? Super Bowl champion,
right guard,
right Super Bowl champion, and Morgan Moses. All they need is a center.
That was a
and
really
they should
nice
have
pickup.
And they should have one of the best. And listen, He got it in the middle of the season for nothing. He gave up a tight end on special teams for a starting Super Bowl right guard. So he's making moves, but all the pieces, right? Right now, he's just building the corners of the puzzle. He ain't filled in the middle yet. Give him some time, Keyshawn. Negative Nancy. He don't talk all that stuff about LeBrick James. You give him all that benefit of the doubt. Oh, man, we're going to figure it out. We're going to do this. You're so optimistic when it comes to LeBrick.
I'm not a LeBrick fan.
And Westbrook.
888
So Westbrook and LeBrick Brick is good.
888
Nothing to see here.
3776. We got Roz from New York. Go ahead, Roz.
Hey, what's going on, guys? First of all, I just want to say, Alan, you're one of the best in the business when it comes to this radio business. And Bart, you're one of my favorite football player, all times. Just wanted to say shout out to you guys. But I wanted to say, as far as Mike White, you see, the problem I have is everyone wants to give Zach Wilson so much slack because of the fact that he's the second overall pick. I understand that. But let's say Mike White goes out there and he doesn't have the best game. I don't feel like they should pull the plug on him right away. Like just because he's not, second overall pick, but they won't even give him a second chance. I feel as if, let's say he has a one touchdown, two interceptions, 160 yards. It's not the best game. They don't look so good. Does that mean they pull him? I don't think.
Especially when you see the next opponents, you got to look at the opponents coming up. I mean, you got games that you could argue you could be very competitive in. I feel like if I'm Mike White, I almost feel like this Bills game, I need to show out. Like I need to make sure I play well. He might feel some pressure knowing that if I have a bad game here, it's an easy road for them to take me out and put Zach back in.
No, Flacco's the backup. Zach Wilson ain't even dressing this week. Flacco's
dressing.
Well,
you don't make Zach the backup.
No, Zach won't dress. Zach won't dress. Right. They're saving Zach from himself.
My point is you take him out for the next game, not in the game. I'm not saying against the Bills you pull him. I'm saying my pressure is if I want to keep this job, this is a very important game for him because the schedule, as we both noted, gets softer coming up.
And then it gets hard again.
And there's no reason if he has a good game against the Bills – you don't do it. You don't change anything at this point. Thank you, Roz.
They're doing exactly what Roz is talking about, right? He got hurt, couldn't finish the game. Right. Did they say, we're going to go with Josh Johnson because he threw for almost 400? No, they recognize Mike White's future is bright, right? Josh Johnson's future is behind him, right? He's 37 years old, right? Mike White has shown potential. They went right back to him. They didn't go to Josh Johnson, hey, you can start, or Flacco, he's hurt, you can start. They're giving him a second shot to see if it's real. See if he can put a whole four quarters back together like he did against Cincinnati.
888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We will continue with the calls. But I also do want to talk about something that happened last night at Madison Square Garden, the Knicks and the Bucks. And the Bucks were, Bart, I've never
NBA Jam
seen it. It really felt like that. He's on fire! Like 26 of 52? From three-point range is unheard of. In fact, it's a record for an opponent against the Knicks all time. It's 26 threes made in a game. And they made seven. The Knicks actually came back down 24 in the second half. And they were able to make a run to tie the game. The building was lit up. It was energetic. It was all the bench players. The starters did not play well again.
Yeah.
Kemba Walker did not look good again. Evan Fournier looked very disconnected again. Mitchell Robinson was telling the whole world that his hip hurt him. I mean, you know the dude that like when he's playing hurt, and he keeps touching the area, he's hurt? It's like, I want everybody in here to know this still hurts. Hey, don't forget, this hurts. Like that stuff, like you could just see it. Guys were not – that starting five good.
Should we start – putting Kemba on load management and starting Derrick Rose at certain
Derrick,
certain games.
I would leave. I do not want to mess with that bench. That bench is the best five in the league.
With Quigley? Start Quigley?
No. I'm telling you, their bench, this is a true story. Five-man lineup, it's a fact. Best five-man lineup in the NBA.
But some days you got to
Fred Cassidy Athletic put that out.
You got to protect Kemba from himself at times, man, because he's at home and he's going to fight through.
Well,
so he's not healthy.
Here's where I want to get to. Here's what they're saying. The players, including Kemba, are saying, it's early. Like, we really got to work through it. And that was presented to Tom Thibodeau last night. Hey, Tibbs, it's only 12 games in. I'm sure, you got to work through it, right? You got to see it. You got to give it time. I want you to listen to Tibbs' response And tell me if you think he's feeling that whole message of we need to be patient.
You know what they say. When it's 10 games, you say you need 20. When you get to 20, you say 30. And then when you get to 30, they say 40. And then before you know it, the season's over. So that's a bunch of bullshit.
Your thoughts, Bud Scott?
Take the gray out of it, Tom Thibodeau.
Right. Tell me how you really feel.
Yeah, say it with your chest, bro.
Doesn't that make you feel like this whole patience thing? Yeah, I'm not about that. Yeah. Like we should know what we've got. We should have it by now.
So
and if we don't, you've got to make some changes. And I'm here to tell you this. December 15th is usually the time of the year where the trade season begins. Mm-hmm. Unofficially, it's like the open of the trade season because that marks the time of the season where everybody that was signed or acquired in the offseason is now officially available to be traded. They lift a moratorium that you can't move or trade these players. Now you can. And if you don't like what you got, you start making moves. And Tibbs doesn't sound like a guy that's willing to say, let's give this time and let it work out.
All right,
he doesn't like what he sees. And I could see the Knicks being aggressive in the trade.
What's
he's a big man. They don't need a big. I could see them being aggressive, Bart. That's all I'm saying. I could see the Knicks this year looking at the East the way it is. It's highly competitive. They want to build off last year. They do not want to recede. They do not want to take a step back. Their defense at home is pathetic. One of the worst in the league. Hard to believe for a team that was the best defensive team in the league last year.
Yeah.
You made two changes.
That's what happens when you go four and yay.
I don't know if it's all him. I think he's got to learn how
Kemba
to play. But look.
You got two guys that can't play defense.
Did he sound like a guy
time.
That's willing to be patient? Did he?
No, he sounds like a man of a certain age. That's all right. You know what? You know, when you get older, you just cut that out.
All right. Well, let me add this one last part. And this is Jay Will from KJM this morning. And I find this also to be interesting because R.J. Barrett has lately, he had a great run of 20-point games, four in a row, looked terrific. Then all of a sudden, it's kind of dropped off big time. And it's usually when Julius Randle starts emerging again. And that's literally what happened. So it's hard to figure out, can they really coexist? But, you know, when you talked about the whole Pippen, Jordan, Batman, Robin thing,
mm-hmm.
Listen to what Jay Will says about R.J. Barrett being a guy that could be a star.
R.J. Barrett went to Duke. I love watching him play. He's an absolute beast. But when you look at next-tier guys, I sometimes think that R.J. lacks at that bah-bah.
Yeah, he lacks
like
the fast
pop,
twitchy
that
on
fast
the next
twitch,
level.
Pop,
yeah.
pop, right? And he's shooting the ball better, which is a huge step for him in his career. But there's still a little bit of that bully ball with the way he gets to the rim. I just don't know if he's that
young,
next.
Jay, really
next,
young.
Very young. Yeah. Ceiling is high. Is that you're going to have that question for a while until you see him get next level.
I mean, when you watch Ja Morant, you go, that's it.
Yes, that's
yeah,
it.
That's it, yeah.
R.J. Barrett, I'm still questioning whether that's it.
I don't be hating on Buck Williams, man. He got that old man game, that big, broad chest, man, wide shoulders.
It's a reasonable question to ask about Barrett. I'll tell you one thing I know. He's next level when it comes to being a competitor. Like, he's as tough as they come. Ice water, doesn't get rattled. But can he, though, get pouty when the ball's not coming his way, when a couple of shots don't go down? Like, can he get into a mood that takes him out of that guy that he is? Now, that's a fair question to ask. So if he and Randle can't be that 1-2 combo, I have a question for you and everybody listening. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. And I really want this answer, at Barton Hunt as well. I'm going to give you two options, hypothetical options. And I want you to answer to me which one you would take if both options were available. You ready?
Sure.
Option one is the Pelicans know that Zion's just not happy there. You know, RJ and Zion are very close. So the Pelicans are like, all right, let's fix this problem. The Knicks want him. We want to bring back a player who was good for us and now is playing great, who can help us grow. And that is Julius Randle. If you could trade Zion for Julius and put Zion with RJ and Zion put him in this culture and have RJ there to get him like to work out and become that guy that we all think he can be, there's option one. Option two is there's a superstar that wants out. Let's say it's either Lillard, Beal. I'll give you – it has to be somebody at that level. Remember, these are hypotheticals, but I'm just curious of what people think. And this scenario – the team says, all right, we'll trade you that superstar to put with Julius Randle, but R.J. Barrett's got to be in the deal. Which deal are you doing? Are you building around Julius or are you building around R.J.?
I think I'm building around R.J., man. I just believe in him. The kid is steadily getting better. Remember, you sitting here talking about his Julius Randle superstar. Remember his track there. Started with the Lakers, started to play a little bit better when he was in New Orleans, but he really got unlocked here. I think R.J. Barrett is ahead of the pace of Julius Randle. I think in the next four, by year four for him, I think he should be a budding star, if not a superstar. I know everybody's
in year three now.
But everybody slights him, right? The kid is capable of averaging 23, 24 points
a game. He averages 17, 18 a game. He averaged 18 a game.
With Julius hogging the damn ball.
Well, he averaged 18 a game on a playoff team last year at the age of 20. Not many players have done that in their career.
But he still gets disrespect. Still didn't make the 20 under 25.
No, that's fair. And you hear what Jay said. Jay said he's not sure if he's that next level guy when it comes to a play. That's why I asked the question. If Julius is an all-NBA player. So that you could say, well, he's already proven it. RJ hasn't. So which way would you go? I want to hear what everybody thinks about that. Also coming up, do you trust the Ravens tonight in South Beach? Do you trust them enough to put your money on it? We will discuss that as well. Barton Hahn, ESPN Radio.
Cool.
ESPN Radio, celebrating America's heroes on Veterans Day. Aaron Judge, New York Yankees.
Hey, guys, just want to say thank you to all the veterans out there for everything you've done, the sacrifices you've made, to give us the ability to live in freedom here. I can't thank you guys enough.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Bart and Hahn.
Welcome back. Bart and Hahn. Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. August, join us on the Goodyear Hotline as we do each week. We go to the Goodyear Hotline. Our good buddy Doug Kazarian joins us right now from Daily Wager. How we doing, Doug?
Doing well, fellas. Obviously a busy, busy time of year. We got college hoops cranking with 350 teams. Oddsmakers, thank God they have technology because they'd be overwhelmed otherwise.
No doubt.
How's Michigan doing? How you feel about Michigan? I only care about anything Michigan.
Why?
Juwan Howard, how's Michigan?
Just stop.
Yeah, that's right. All right, retract that.
Taking us right off the tracks, and we have very little time. It's all he does. It's all about Detroit and Michigan. He doesn't care about anything outside of that. But I do care about tonight's game because I do have a question for you as a pro. I need to know this. Is there a South Beach effect when it comes to visiting teams? Is that a real thing that anybody laying money down, that Vegas even pays attention to? I know it's a Thursday night. I get it. But the Ravens, I looked at it as a business trip, meaning you have no business to lose this game. They're favored by 7.5 right now, the last line I saw. But just curious, in your mind, is there such a thing?
Not in the NFL, because there's only 16 games. And Bart can speak to this better than I, but I mean, obviously, we had the Golden Knights that the Vegas flew, right, for over a course of an 82-game season. In the NBA, you certainly get that. Toronto, the late Flip Saunders, total stud. I worked and hosted with him an NBA Tonight. We would, watch games for 5 hours and then do a show at like 1:30 a.m. And I would ask him things like this. He goes, when he was on the Pistons, right, he goes, we traded for, we got Rashid. And first day, he goes, Coach, don't count on me in these three cities. It was Atlanta, New York and Toronto, and Miami, maybe a fourth one. And Flip goes, you know what? He was exactly right. I could not count on him on those nights. But those are the long seasons. Baseball has it too. But the NFL, there's been no issues in Vegas with the Raiders coming here because it is business trip. It is work trips. and especially the non-guaranteed money. Mm. So, yeah, there's no flu, if you will, okay, for Miami, I don't think, unless Bart, tells me I'm wrong.
You're so wrong. That's why the great Tom Brady always struggled, all them New England teams, all that discipline. Let me tell you something. I once lost a teammate to Tropical Poleal. We went there, and he fell in love with the lady that was serving the food in the drive-thru.
Oh, no.
Never heard from him again. Never seen him again. Still trying to find him.
So maybe there is a little something, too. But are you comfortable with the Ravens tonight at that number?
So here's the thing. Baltimore is one of those teams where when you count them out, they're going to win outright. And when you think they're going to roll, they struggle and have narrow victories, right? Mm-hmm. Like last week, obviously had to come back and beat the Vikings. The Monday nighter against the Colts, they really shouldn't have won that game at all, came back and win. But when you count them out, like the Chiefs game, when they're home dogs, they win outright. So my first instinct was to look at Miami, but I just cannot with Brissett playing. I think he just lacks awareness. He's just not smooth. I just can't get behind that. I mean, you want the home dog and the points, but I just don't see how Miami – I mean, look what they struggled with the Texans. They had a million – the defense got a million turnovers, and they still barely mustered a win and got 17-9, I believe the final was. So for me, I'm definitely teasing the Ravens down from 7.5 to 1.5, looking at maybe the Steelers as a second leg from 8-2 against the Lions. But I can't get behind Miami, but I also can't trust Baltimore laying it. I'm going to probably end up laying it if it's confirmed it's Brissett over Tua.
All right, I'm gonna ask you now about other news from today that is certainly interesting, especially when I just heard this latest thing. So Cam Newton signs; he's going back to the Carolina Panthers, who clearly need a quarterback after Sam Darnold, which I just love that it's an incomplete fracture. It's just something about that is hysterical. Although, of course, we're not laughing at the injury, but we are. But I wonder. So he could play Sunday against the Cardinals. He could he should start as early as Sunday. That's a 10.5 right now against the Cardinals. Still not sure about Kyler Murray. But first I ask you about that game. It's 10.5. Second, I ask you about putting money on Panthers and their playoff prospects.
But that's not – I mean, look, what we saw last with Cam was very shaky, and that's with Belichick and a coach who can kind of maximize players. Now, he was really good, but prior to COVID last year. So there's really no telling. I just think this Panthers team is really limited. Now, McCaffrey's coming back. He was on a pitch count last week. But I just feel like there's better things to do than kind of back the Panthers, if you will. They play in a tough division. Atlanta's even frisky in that division right now. They're in the playoff hunt, right? And then, of course, the top of the division is Tampa Bay and New Orleans. And New Orleans, we'll see what happens with the quarterback situation and whether Trevor Siemian can lean to the playoffs. They have a great defense. I just don't want to get involved with the Panthers. For me, I'm the team I'm looking to fade, especially in the short term, because Cam's going to be limited. It's a new, different coach, right? It's not the same system. So he's going to have a very limited means out of the gate.
So, well, the fact that they said that he's starting lets me know that maybe this is the same system that he played when he was in Auburn, a lot of the same verbiage, and probably it's going to be the old Cam and new, where it's pretty much the RPO and a lot of run-pass options, you know, because Joe Brady did come from that type of you know, it's interesting to me. I don't know. I want to jump on the train, man. This is a great story. And I think the fact that they suggest, because he has the weapons on the outside, Cam can still, like, run the ball and be that running back as well. With McCaffrey, it's a game changer.
Yeah, as long as he's healthy. That's
very,
the most,
very sneaky.
Yeah, that's the important part. Before we get your picks for the weekend, I'm curious what you think of the NBA, what we've seen so far, about 10 games in for most teams, 12 for others. And there seems to be so much parity right now. You do have the Warriors at 10-1, but I mean, in the East especially, there's a ton of parity. What do you make of it?
Yeah, I mean, it's just a reminder how much the grind of the NBA, right? So good teams will have random performances where they just lay an egg. Also, we have some COVID situations surfacing, like Joel Embiid, and then various injuries as well. You will have the load management not too long from now. So it's just the NBA is such a grind and a headache, and then, you know, with the fouling at the end of these games and then the three-point shot, it's just it's madness. But we saw a huge trend early, the first couple of weeks with the unders, right? It was about 65%, give or take, with the new rules on the fouling and things like that. So the market hadn't adjusted because a lot of the data was being used from last year by the modelers who shaped the line, so that it was data that didn't really kind of fit with this year's rule changes. So we're seeing the market adjust now that we're more than a couple of weeks into the season, but still you know, it's a total, like, crapshoot. And to your point, there is parity, for sure.
I'll tell you what, last night, Nick game, perfect example, right? So they're playing the Bucks. They're down 24. The line's 3.5 in favor of the home team, of the Knicks. Down 24. Then I had a friend who was working, who had money on this game, and he's, like, ready to give up. And now all of a sudden we're tied in the fourth quarter. I'm saying that's the NBA now. Like, you're really never done. Like, don't send your money until the game is over, because you just never know with the way they're shooting a three and everything else.
Sixers the other night, right?
Yeah.
Sixers the other night.
Great, yeah, great point. Yeah, that was a wild game. All right, best bets for the weekend. What do you got, Doug?
All right, so I don't love the NFL card. The one pick I'm going to go with is the Broncos and Eagles under. I think both teams are going to run. Denver defense obviously played great last week, but they don't stop the run that much. I think Philly's going to attack it. But 45.5 feels like a big number when you have limited quarterback play. You got to throw out last week's game with the Broncos. It was just such an anomaly. So I'm under in that game. My best bet in college is a big number. I'm going to lay 24 with Utah. Arizona stinks. There's no other way to put it. They have one win. That was last week against Cal. 7-3 or whatever the final score was. And that's because Cal was ravaged with COVID protocol, had players out, coaches out. And it was just like a throwaway game. It was like a scrimmage. So Arizona got their lone win. Now it is in Tucson. That's the one thing. I wish it was in Salt Lake. I'd lay more points. But I'll still lay 24 with this Utah team that just smacked Stanford 52-7. They bring a defense. They bring an offensive line that's just going to mow anybody in their way. So when you're laying big numbers and they're going to try to kill clock, Whittingham is sort of a good gentleman and respects his opponent. So he's not going to throw it all around like some of these other coaches do at the end. But I still lay the 24. I mean, Arizona should probably score 10 points. I mean, this could be like 50-10.
I love it. Rooting for blowouts in college football. All the best. Good stuff. Thanks,
They're
Doug.
They're not messing around. Since they made the quarterback change, it's Cameron Rising. They're legit now.
Love it. Doug, great stuff as always. Thanks so much.
All right, fellas. Thank you.
All right, Doug Kazarian from Daily Wager. Yeah, you're all about Michigan right now, aren't you? Hey, that was college football's play of the month. Brought to you by Dr. Pepper. College football is heating up and the fans are hyped. Return to glory with Fansville by Dr. Pepper, the one fans deserve. You know, we got calls, Bart. Let's get them. 888-SAY-ESPN. 888-729-3776. Several topics to get to that are on the lines right now. We're going to get to those, as well as a common thread that leads to winning in New York. And some franchises still haven't figured out, but they need to. We will discuss. Barton Hunt, ESPN Radio.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Bart and Hahn. Welcome back. Bart and Hahn, ESPN Radio. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. Let's see. We had Vince Carter, a little Vince Sanity earlier in the show. He told some great stories. Bart, that story he told when you asked him a question that I thought was an obvious one, but it wasn't, his most disrespectful dunk. And I thought it got to be the Frederick Weiss one. Mm-hmm. And he said, well, yeah, the Olympics one. He did on Zoe, Lonzo Mourning. But then he said in high school he had one, and he told the story, and we were both like, damn. So that was we had a lot of fun talking with Vince Carter.
People. No other show pulls that.
VC, we had Damian Woody, our good friend as well. Anything that you might have missed, all 3 hours of Bart and Hahn is posted daily as a podcast, so you can find it available wherever you listen to your podcast. And here's all you got to do, just hit subscribe and you don't miss a thing. All right? Okay. Now we're going to grab some calls here. But Bart, you know, earlier in this hour, we played Keyshawn Johnson kind of being critical, not kind of, definitely being critical of the Jets hierarchy.
Hater.
And saying that he just doesn't think that these are the guys to get the job done. It's Joe Douglas, Robert Saleh. It's what he just sees. I just don't see.
Hater.
And I just want to bring up a point. New York franchises have had great success, and I mean great success, not, you know, good or mediocre. When they bring in a tough coach who tightens the reins and gets you organized and is the main voice of the franchise. Tom Thibodeau at the Knicks is a great example. he's turned them around, essentially just being the guy that he always is, which is I come in here and I get this thing organized. Like, you trust the Knicks will be good and not going to fall into some, like, terrible losing streak like we've seen in the past. Oh, good start, but watch them lose, like, 12 in a row. Like, because he's their coach. You just trust they'll always be prepared. Like, think about when Bill Parcells took over the Jets after they were an abomination of a franchise. Abomination. And he comes in the 90s, and he turned them into an elite franchise that was one step away from a Super Bowl.
These are retreads, though. These are guys that's already proven themselves.
They're not retreads. They're resume guys. Let me continue.
Okay.
Pat Riley came in and took over the Knicks, and how'd that work out? How'd that work out?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Barry Trotz with the Islanders. Let me go there. The Islanders were a good competitive team, right? They were a good competitive team, but they weren't like a cup contender. He comes in, and he's got the system. He's got the Morgan, and they are now a cup contender. There's just certain guys that are just, they have that resume. And in New York, I just think it's different. I just don't think you can bring in inexperienced coaches like Luis Rojas with the Mets, right? Mickey Callaway with the Mets.
Like Rex Ryan?
You know, well, Rex Ryan is an outlier. I give you that.
Herm Edwards?
He's
never been a head coach.
Yeah, okay.
Meh.
But was Herm Edwards a guy that came in and grabbed everything by the throat and said, I'm running this thing?
Rex Ryan was the first guy to come in, made some aggressive trades,
yeah.
Brought in some peoples, brought a swag.
I'll give you Rex.
Yeah, that's all we get.
Yeah, I'll give you Rex. But you see what I'm saying,
now,
right?
I know exactly what you're saying, though. But
you're dealing with McCarthy.
You're saying they should have brought in McCarthy.
The
fans would have choked him by now with his decisions and leaving guys in and time management.
Would you rather look like the Cowboys look, or would you rather look like the Giants look right now? A team that jumps offside every big plays.
Well, but McCarthy had nothing to do with that.
Did he? Or he didn't hire people?
No. The talent was already there. That's what I mean. He didn't have anything to do with it from a talent.
The Giants don't have any talent. Is that what you're telling me?
Yeah, Giants are still trying to get talent.
Okay.
They should hire Jason Garrett then.
I'm just telling you, this is a bigger beast here. You're dealing with the media, you're dealing with a lot of people. And I'll go back to the thing I said about the Mets and the fact that, you know, you want the best. You want guys with resumes because you want to be able to handle business and not – and, you know, you're going to get second guess. You're going to get questioned. You need somebody that, I don't care what you say. I've got the track record. I know what I'm doing. Look at my resume.
Hire A-Rod.
Never mind.
He's A-Rod, though. He's a good.
But
like,
that
is interesting, though, right? A baseball savant. Like, he can't own a team, but if you let him run one.
Well, you think Cohen's bringing him in?
You let him be Derek Jeter?
You know he
hates Derek Jeter.
You think Cohen is bringing in Alex Rodriguez? You haven't paid attention to that story, have you? There's no chance he brings him in. They were rivals trying to buy a team, and he had a guy who hates Cohen trying to push him into the spot.
A friend of my friend is my enemy. I'm very confused.
888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Buddha's in the Bronx. Buddha.
Hey, listen, Bill Cowher wanted a job, but, you know, the Jets were too big to interview him. I'm going to leave that alone.
Bill never wanted that job. I worked with Bill, and he would just flirt and throw his name out there. Bill loves making all the money that he makes by only working 17 to 20 times a year. He loves hanging out with his wife, V, going around to her music concerts. Bill Cowher has no intentions on ever. We just do that and pump him up, me, Boomer, just to have fun. He is living the greatest life of his time.
Yeah.
All right, that being said, listen, Mike White is a gift and a curse for Sal and Douglas. Gift-wise, he validates the offensive system and the offensive draft picks. But curse-wise, if he bottoms out and Wilson's a late bloomer or worse, like Thanos said, it's going to be a grateful new universe. You guys won't be alive to tell everybody how we got there. Joe Douglas and Sal are going to lose their job if that happens.
You know what, Buddha? You had me on the blessing and a curse thing, because the blessing was that it makes you look smart. The curse part is that if he keeps producing, it's hard to take him out of the lineup, and then the kid that you drafted might never get an opportunity.
Yeah, but the dude's 25 years old, man. It's not like he's like first-time guy. He's 25 years old. You would expect
this is Kirk Cousins RG3, right? Isn't this sort of that kind of same story?
Exactly that. And what happened is you flip one, and if one can't stay healthy, then Zach Wilson will make it easy for you.
All right, we'll see where it
steel,
goes.
Sharp and steel.
But until tomorrow.
Stand clear of the closing doors, please.
Thanks for listening to the Barton Hahn Podcast. You can listen live to Barton Hahn weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio or stream the video of the show on ESPN Plus. Bart and Hahn, the podcast.